Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, a number of you weren't here. And I suspect that it had something to do with a football game in Arizona. It was the last football game of the season, as I understand it, but my team's season was over 2 weeks before that. As a result, I wasn't all that interested in the outcome of the game. I did watch it, however. And just as it happens in the church year, as one sports season ends, another begins. In the church year, today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the season following Epiphany. Epiphany began on January 6th. And we've had the Sundays after Epiphany, and Transfiguration Sunday is the last Sunday prior to, as Mr. Justin said, Lent. We're done with Advent, at least until the end of November. So we are transitioning between seasons here in the church and in the sports world. We are transitioning to baseball. Pitchers and catchers reported this week to their spring training sites. Full rosters are supposed to report tomorrow, as I understand it. And I don't know how much you know about baseball, but maybe you've heard of a baseball player named Yogi Berra. If you haven't, talk to Augie, he'll fill you in. Yogi Berra played for the New York Yankees for 18 seasons, followed by one season with the Mets. He spent another 25 years as both a coach and a manager in Major League Baseball, and he retired in 1989. And if baseball isn't your thing, maybe you saw him on an Aflac commercial back in the day. Yogi was a three-time league MVP, 18-time All-Star, 10-time World Series champion, Hall of Fame player who might be better known for the quotable things that he said than for his baseball career. Things like, you can observe a lot just by watching. It ain't over till it's over. No one goes there nowadays because it's too crowded. Think about it. It's like deja vu all over again. And baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. Maybe his top five. I'm not sure. It is his comment about deja vu that came to mind while I was reading and studying our gospel reading for this morning. It was like deja vu all over again when I read about that voice coming from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Does that sound familiar to you? If you are in worship on January 8th, I hope it does. On the first Sunday after Epiphany, which is also Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. For on that Sunday, we read that Jesus came to John in the Jordan to be baptized by him. Not because Jesus needed John's baptism of repentance, but in order to reveal who Jesus is and to begin his ministry. And when Jesus was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon him. And the heavens opened, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. In him I am well pleased." We heard these words at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and now we hear them again as his ministry is transitioning to its conclusion. In fact, from this point forward, Jesus will be getting closer to Jerusalem, closer to his crucifixion. Just prior to our reading, Jesus provides the first of his three passion announcements. In verse 21, we began in in 24, but in verse 21, we read, from that point on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day raised. So it's with that in the distance, but on the minds of the disciples, that we hear this voice from heaven again saying, this is my son, the beloved in whom I am well pleased. Everything that happens from this point forward happens with the crucifixion in the distance. All of this happens in the shadow of the cross, basically, which is the season of Lent. With his crucifixion approaching, Jesus' identity as a Son of God is affirmed by God for us, and perhaps for Jesus himself. And it's important that we know that Jesus is in fact the Son of God and not just some other random man who is about to be crucified. Crucifixion was a very popular form of punishment and death at the time. It's said that the Romans crucified some 6,000 men. The road into Rome was lined with crosses, not because they were Christians, but for those crucifixions. And it's important that we understand who Jesus is and that he isn't just one more man among the 6,000 who were crucified by the Romans. No, Jesus is the Son of God, the Beloved, in whom God is well pleased. And as such, Jesus was baptized and crucified. He was raised from the dead, not for himself, not for his sins, not because of anything that he has done, but for us. Why? Because we, you and I, are beloved children of God, whom God is pleased to invite into God's kingdom. And God has done that through his only perfect Son. When we were baptized, we were invited into the body of Christ, the church. Our names were spoken. We were claimed by God as children of God and called beloved, just like Jesus. Because it was through the same baptismal waters that Jesus lowered himself into or was lowered into and came out of, that we were baptized in and have been made clean, sinless in the eyes of God. Oh, those rose-colored eyes of God, who sees us not as we are, but as we are intended to be. Many, probably most of us, were baptized as infants, so we don't remember our baptisms. As a result, it wasn't our faith that brought us to the font. If you were baptized as an infant, it wasn't your faith that brought you to the font. It was the faith of your parents and family and sponsors and the faith of the church that brought you to the font to receive the gift of holy baptism. For that's what baptism is, a gift. Much like the grace that we receive there, it is a gift from God given to us. Not because we deserve it, but because God loves us. And having received that gift, we need to be reminded of it. We move the font into the front of the sanctuary this morning. We need to be reminded of it so that we might remember it, much like Jesus was reminded of his baptism on top of that mountain at the Transfiguration. The same word said. So I would imagine Jesus maybe thought he had deja vu all over again. God spoke those words from heaven to Jesus at his baptism. He spoke those same words at the Transfiguration in order that we might remember who he is, the beloved Son of God with whom God is well pleased. Now, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we'll be inviting you to remember and affirm your own baptism, where you receive the gracious love of God in the form of the Holy Spirit like a dove descending upon you. For through baptism we have entered into the death and resurrection of Jesus, who though he was sinless, gave his life as an atonement for our sins. So we remember what Jesus has done for us, something that we could never do for ourselves. He has made us righteous in the eyes of God, for we are children of God. And as such, God, we are God's beloved, and in you, God is well pleased. So as we journey up the mountain of transfiguration, let us not focus upon building tents, as Peter wanted to do. Let us not worry about why Elijah and Moses were there, or even fret over which mountain it might have been. We can ask all those questions next year on Transfiguration Sunday. But this Transfiguration Sunday, we're going to do something different. Because Jesus was reminded of his baptism, we're going to remember our baptism. And as we remember and affirm the words that were said at our baptism, I pray that we might grow, continue to grow into the people that God intended us to be, children of God, in whom God is well pleased. Later in the service, the font will become our focus. Between now and then, I encourage you to reflect and think about your baptism or what you know of your baptism or a baptism you've seen recently. Maybe Tierney, who now is in the cry room, just a few short weeks ago.